Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go in our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6 to begin with. Praise God. We'll start there. Leviticus, the 6th chapter. And I want to talk about the altar fire. And you'll understand what we're talking about here in just a little bit. But it just seems like, and I hope you don't get tired of it, but it just seems like the Lord just has really put it on me to talk about this a number of times, about how we need to make sure we're ready in these last days. Because I don't think sometimes the church takes it serious enough when we read the warnings in the Bible about not being ready in the last days. You know, I think we can think that it would never happen to me, and pray God it never does, but I think if we take the attitude, it could never happen to me, of not being ready, then I think we are in danger already of not being ready. Because, you know, it's kind of like the guy that's a good athlete and he just begins to think, well, I got it, and he stops being hungry. And next thing you know, somebody beats him, right? Because they get, you know, we use the word lackadaisical. And so we got to watch that, amen? And so that's kind of where we're going this morning. You know, I know we've talked about this a few times this year, but I just, you know, I'm not one normally, you know, it's like when I was talking about Saturday, I'm usually getting ready. What you don't realize is there's sometimes Saturday afternoon, I don't know what I'm going to preach Sunday morning. You know, now sometimes I do, you know, sometimes I know ahead of time, but there's times I might not even have a clue. So I have to have some time with the Lord and find out what the word is. And so yesterday, as I was spending time with him, this is the word that came. All right. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 12. We're going to call this the altar fire. Leviticus chapter 6. Sorry. I meant verse 12. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. And it's talking about the fire that's in the Old Testament, in the temple, the tabernacle, that is. And it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. So there, we're supposed to have fire burning. Yes. Now notice this, the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out. And notice this, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. There it is again. Notice this. It shall never go out. Amen. Now, you know, Jewish tradition says that God originally started this fire. That it was, in other words, it was supernaturally started. Man didn't strike a match, you know, and start this fire, that God supernaturally started this fire. That's Jewish tradition. That is believed by a lot of Jewish religious people, that God started the fire. And I like to believe that. I tell you why I like to believe that, because that's who started the fire in our lives. You know, the Bible tells us in different places in the New Testament, particularly Corinthians, it says that we are the temple of God. Right. You and I are the temple of God. God is dwelling in us. So we have to wonder, or we have to ask, is my fire still burning bright inside? Yes. Now, how many of you have to judge yourself?
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus said something to the church at Revelation. He said to them, he said, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Now what did he mean by that? Well, he instructed him, he said, go back and do the first works again unless I come and remove your candlestick from its place. Now, what did he specifically mean, you've left your first love? Well, I think a lot of that has to do with you losing your zeal for God. Amen. Some of you have been married a long time. Some of you have been married longer than some of the people in the church have been alive. Amen? And so, but if you just think back to when you first met one another, when you first realized you were in love and the fire that was in there, right? That fire, you know, sometimes you might talk on the phone for an hour, you know, or 2 hours. Pastor Chuck, sometimes he talked to Miss Joanne for 3 or 4 minutes. Amen. 1 minute. Miss Joanne said 1 minute. Wow. See, that's big time for him, though. That means he's on fire. What Elvis called a hunk of burning love or something. I don't know. But help me understand that we had that for God when we got saved. Right? But what happens is life can tend to put that out if you let it. Amen. Now, I'm not so dumb to think that you're always going to have these emotions all the time. I think God gave us emotions to enjoy life with. How many believe that? But I don't believe He gave us emotions to live life by. Amen? If you live life by your emotions, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Because emotions don't tell you necessarily what God's wanting. They tell you what you want. I was talking about this Wednesday night. We were talking about, help me out, somebody. Glory to God, I preached it. I'm trying to think of the title of Wednesday night's message. Pressing on. Keep pressing on. And we were talking about that. And I talked about, you know, about you're not supposed to be led by three areas. You're not supposed to be led by yourself. You're not supposed to be led by your emotions. And you're not supposed to be led by the devil or his agents. You're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God and by God's Word. And I talked about emotional decisions, how they won't stand the test of time, nor weather the storms of life. In other words, they may seem good at the moment, but they won't last. Amen. And I talked about, I've never seen a puppy I didn't want to bring home. Has anybody? I've done it. I've gone to the Humane Society and, you know, just had a look-see. We're going for a look-see. Just look-see. See who needs rescued. It's real dangerous because I want to bring them home. You understand? But see, I know that's an emotional decision, and I need to just not go by that. Now, thank God for my wife, because she's with me. She controls that. Amen. I've never smelled a new truck. The kind that I like, which is all of them, you know, that are four-wheel drive. And I never got in one and smelt one. I didn't want to bring it home. And you know what? The devil will kind of side in on that, and he'll tell you how you'll be able to make the payment. Am I the only one that's ever had these issues? Or are y'all just as crazy as I am? See, you can't go that way, right? You can't see... My first love, my first real love that I remember having, the first one, I was in first grade. Yeah, and she was in 12th grade. But it just didn't work out.
How many know if you live by your emotions, life will devastate you.
It will. It'll devastate you because there's going to be times your emotions aren't going to get what they want. Most of the time, they probably shouldn't get what they want because usually they want things that probably isn't the best for your life. Thank God when your emotions and the will of God line up. That's a great day. But that's just not the case all the time. That's why you can't live by your emotions. You know, well, I don't feel like, you know, we deal with people. I just don't feel like God's with me. Well, He said He was. I don't always feel spiritual. Man, I've been called to go pray for people, and I thought, man, this is not a good day for that. You know, I don't feel spiritual today. Well, that has nothing to do with it. I have my inheritance, whether I feel like I have it or not.
I have authority whether I feel like I have it or not.
Right.
Is that not your understanding of the Bible? I don't see any place in the Bible where it says, now if you feel spiritual today, you find as many people as you can and you go pray for them because this is a good day. Do you know that God doesn't have good days and bad days? He's just God. Amen? And so, you know, we can't be led by our emotions. So I'm not saying I got off on that, and maybe somebody needed to hear that, but I got off on that because I was talking about the fact that, you know, sometimes when you get saved, you do have those emotions that hit you and all, but and maybe those do subside, you know. I'm not talking about an emotional thing. See, the fire of God means you're doing what you need to do because you need to do it.
Amen.
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 You know, see, what Jesus said, he told a parable one time. He said, a father asked his two sons to go work in his vineyard, you know. And one said, I go, Father, and didn't go. And the other one said, I'm not going. And he went. He eventually turned around and went. And he said, which one did the will of God, see? Well, the one that adjusted.
Right?
Right? The one that adjusted. And realize I can't be, because I don't feel like going to work today doesn't mean I can't, I get to stay home. Wouldn't that be quite a world if we stayed home every time we felt like not going to work? How many would ever go to work? Phyllis would. She works here. I would. Now, there's times I don't feel like going to work. Y'all looking at me kind of funny. You said, yeah, I can tell the day where you're preaching is one of those days. Hang around. It's going to get better. You unbelieving thing, you. See, you understand that you can't be led by that. You have to be led by what's right, see. And I think what Jesus is saying, he said, you've left your first love. And he said, remember where you've fallen from and repent. Now listen to what he said, and do the first works again. Notice he didn't say, have the first feelings again. Now, you may still be madly in love with your spouse, and maybe you have all kinds of emotions, but I would dare say that most of the people that's been married for a number of years do not have the same emotions they had in the first week of their dating. Would I be safe to assume that? Don't have to say it. Your wife is with you. Shut up. But I would be safe to assume that, right? Your wife's not here.
I love her more now than I did back then.
He knows she's going to watch this. That's why he said that. Pastor Jerry said he loves his wife more now than he did back then. And you know what? That's probably the truth. Now, maybe the emotions aren't like they used to be. But the works are better. Are you following what I'm saying? See, I'm not talking about, oh man, I got this burning emotion going on inside of me. Well, that's good if you have that, but you could be on fire for God and not necessarily have that. You just do what's right because it's the right thing to do. Amen. So this altar fire, this is what we're talking about here. See, this was to never go out. It was to burn continually, all the time. Never go out. And God started, according to Jewish tradition, God started that fire. And I think of it that way. When we got born again, God started our altar fire. He lit a fire inside of us. If you didn't get that fire, you probably didn't get born again. Amen. See, you know, I don't understand, and I don't, you know, why people, well, let me say it this way. When I got born again, nobody had to encourage me, prod me, or beat me to go to church.
Right.
It was just a natural result of falling in love with Jesus. Nobody had to prod me to read my Bible. I just wanted to. Nobody had to prod me to pray or worship God. Amen. I just wanted to. Right?
Amen.
So nobody had to prod me to go to the special meetings the church was having. Nobody had to call me up and say, "Oh, please come, please come." I tell you what, we're going to give, we're going to give away, you know, a gift card to the one that comes the most.
I didn't have to have any of that. Amen. I just went. Now listen now. If we don't still do those same things, are we still doing the first works? Nobody had to tell me you should go witness for Jesus. It was a natural reflex, whatever I'm trying to say. It was a natural reflex of my spiritual life. So if we're not doing those first works, we've left our first love. When we need to repent, right? I'm only preaching this because, you know, maybe next week, you know, we'll preach on our redemption and all. But this is really something we need to think about because we're at the end of this thing. And so if we're not doing what we used to do, then we're not in love like we used to be in love. Amen. You can take the Lord for granted just like you can take a person for granted. And so we have to be careful that we don't do that. So we have to, that's the way we check. We don't check, well, do I still have this burning emotion? No, emotions come, emotions go. But actions, that's what Jesus was talking about. You left your first love. Do the first works. Do those over again. How you were on fire. You know, we would, you know, man, nobody had to ask me to come to prayer meeting or beg me. I just went. Because I was in love. Amen. See, when you first fell in love with your spouse, you did things on the weekday that you used to wouldn't do, or the weeknights that you used to wouldn't do. You go places. You go see one another. I mean, before, you stayed home and slept. But now, come on, am I telling the truth? I mean, you know, that guy like Pastor Chuck, you know, that's in bed at 8 o'clock. I'm pretty close, aren't I? I mean, 9:30. There, 9:30. The man that's in bed at 9:30, when he was dating Miss Joanne, he stayed up till 10:30 or quarter to 11. There's something working there, man. Come on, are you with me? We're picking on Pastor Chuck this morning, but come on. Help me follow what I'm saying. So the works, it's not a matter that, you know, I have this burning thing in me, this burning emotion in me. If you have that, thank God. But that's not it. Jesus said, do the first works. Do what you used to do. When you first met me, what did you do then? You were so hungry for me. You were so in love with me that you wanted to be where I was. You wanted to be around me. Amen. You can't be cooling off and still be on fire. Amen. Now, let's go. I'll tell you what. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. I've read this scripture a few times this year, I think. But I want to read it again because it's still true. Matthew 24. And I want to extract some things from those. Matthew 24. So we got to keep that altar fire burning inside of us. We got to keep it going. It's to never go out. And one of the ways we do that is we just do the things we used to do. Now that may mean, now listen now, that may mean you may have to make yourself. Because you have to override your flesh.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
The flesh doesn't always want to do things. You know, the flesh is excited about something as long as it's new. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, think about you buy a new vehicle. Unless you're really weird like me, you know, you know, when you buy a new vehicle, you keep it clean and nice. You won't drive it on rock roads, you know, for at least 3 months. And then after 6 months, it looks like it's like 10 years old. Unless you're weird like me and it's, you know, and you take it to the wash all the time and you still don't drive it on rock roads. I'm weird. I'm an anomaly. But you know what? That's what one of my pastor friends here in town, he said, I thought I saw you in Newburgh the other day. And he said, I saw the wheels on the truck were dirty and I knew it wasn't yours. My truck right now is as dirty as it gets, all right? Pretty much. So, but let me know you get new things. Just for instance, has anybody ever started like an exercise program? Do you get real excited about it in the beginning? Well, Pastor Jerry's never been on one. Stay out of it. How many ever been excited about it? How many know after time goes by, guess what happens? The emotions wear away. Amen. So I've done it, you know, where, I'm excited about it. You know, praise God. Man, I can just see myself. You start imagining yourself slimmer, more in shape, your body more fit, and you just get excited and, you know, you order the whatever the piece of material or piece of machinery that you were going to use. You order it, and then after about 2 months, all it's good for is hanging your clothes on. Probably sooner than that. Amen. Phyllis and I, we've had several treadmills. We've had several Swin Aerodynes, at least two, maybe three of those Swin Aerodynes. And, you know, number two, the same way as number one. You got to use it. And that zeal can wear off, that excitement, that emotion. See, this is the big difference between really succeeding in life and failing in life, really, right here. If you're led by that, you'll never reach your goals. This is why most people in walking in faith never get the fullness of the blessing, is because it's exciting to hear it preached. It's exciting to start out on the venture. And there's a lot of good starters, but you got to have good finishers. This is what Jesus said. Paul said, Jesus talking about in Mark chapter 4, he said the sower sows the word. He said that, you know, these are they that they hear the word with gladness, but only endure for a time. So in other words, they were emotional about it. They got excited about the word, which is great, but you got to stick with it. Right? Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept faith. So in other words, I just stuck with it. So there's the good things in life are things you just got to stick with it. You just got to stay with it and just stay with it. And that's what the Lord's saying when he's talking about being, you know, you're having your first love, is you just stay with it. You just stay with it. Even when you don't feel like staying with it, you stay with it. Right. Even when you don't feel like coming to church, you come to church. Right. Even when you don't feel like praying, you pray. When you don't feel like reading the Word, you read the Word. Anytime you don't feel like going to prayer meeting, you go to prayer meeting. Or whatever it might be that's associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Amen. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, look at this scripture, and we'll move on from here. Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, or literally lawlessness shall abound, because lawlessness shall abound. How many know we're in that period of time right now where lawlessness abounds, and it seems like the lawless people are getting rewarded today. Really, it's like they're... It's like you can riot and tear things up and burn buildings down, and you're okay. Right? But, you know, if somebody tries to defend their property, then they're in trouble. Well, see, this is where we're at. I mean, we saw that with this couple over in St. Louis when they came into their community and were going to riot and were cursing them and threatening them, and they got their guns out and... The rioters don't get in trouble. The people that get the guns out got in trouble. The people are going to defend their property. That's called the spirit of lawlessness. It's in our politicians. It's in our country. It's in the world. It's in the government. And it would like to get into the church, but we're not letting it in the church, right?
Right.
Amen. It's a spirit, see? And he says, because of that, notice this, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, I mean, endure. You don't feel a lot of emotions in enduring, right? Not good emotions, right? Not in enduring. You know, enduring means you just stick with it, even though it gets tough sometimes. But what I wanted to bring out of that is because he said, because of iniquity, because all that's going on in the world, the love of many. Now, how many is many? How many know many means we need to pay attention, right? See, Paul said in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, see, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of devils, see, or demons. So we have to make sure that we, you know, we're paying attention here, all right? We're not just like, that won't happen to me. No, he said because of this iniquity, what would happen? What he's talking about is eventually the spirit of the world will get off on you if you don't watch it. Now, the only way to keep the spirit of the world from getting off on you is to hang out with the Spirit of God.
Right.
That's it. If you don't hang out with the Spirit of God and the things He's involved in, which are the things of God, then the spirit of the world will automatically get off on you. And you grow cold, and you don't even know you're doing it. You just do. That doesn't happen overnight. Right? Just like your cup of coffee you get in the morning. It doesn't go cold overnight. It doesn't go cold immediately. It just starts. Well, once you take it off the fire, it starts getting cold, doesn't it? So, once you take it from the source of heat, it starts to go down in temperature. Now, you know, I have in my study, I have a little, what do they call those, coffee warmer. And it's good, but it's not the same as the source. The source keeps it hotter. This keeps it, you know, it keeps it tolerable. What did Jesus say? I'd rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Now, what did he mean by that? Does he mean he wants you cold people? No, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about liquids. And if you think about liquids, only cold or hot liquids are good. I like coffee cold. I like coffee hot. I don't like coffee lukewarm. One or the other. You know. And so I like it. You know, sometimes I'll get what's called a Frappuccino. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's in them. And they're cold, you know. And I like them, you know. And then I'll, you know, because sometimes they'll ask you, you want that hot or you want that cold, you know. And so I'll get a hot. Well, that's good. Praise God for that. But lukewarm? You take a drink of coffee that's lukewarm, what's your immediate response? What do you want to do? You want to spit it out. See, Jesus is talking about our lives. Man, have something going on inside of you that's worth partaking of. Amen? So if you're lukewarm, he said, I'll spit you out. I don't know what that means, but if that means you're not going to be saved, that's serious. Right? I don't know. You can write your own interpretation on what you think that might mean. You know, spit you out. But it just means he's ejecting you from him. So that sounds pretty serious to me.
Yes.
Amen. So, you know, and what was with this church? Well, you read on. See, he was writing to the lukewarm church, you know, the Laodicea church. And their problem was they were so full of natural stuff and so full of themselves that they thought they had everything they needed. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be around God. I'm good. Well, see, they were so full of themselves that they didn't have any room for God. And he said, I'm going to, but there's hope. He said, repent. Amen. And come sup with me. That's what he said. I stand at the door and knock. This is what he said to that church. He said, you're lukewarm and I'll spit you out. He said, I stand at the door and knock. I'm right there. I want to have fellowship with you. If any man will open the door and come in, I will sup with him. I will dine with him. We'll have fellowship together. Praise God. We'll get your fire lit. Amen. So it's not over. You say, well, it's just too late for me. No, it's never too late for you. Amen. But we have to watch in the age we're living in. This is a really dangerous age to live in. It's more dangerous than the ages previously because there's so much out there that would steal your fire. See, and the devil, listen, the devil, if you understand, if you're paying attention, the devil is setting up our world for the soon come of the Antichrist. The spirit of he's called the lawless one. That spirit of lawlessness is really becoming prevalent in our world. And so the devil is setting it up so that the lawless one steps in. Thank God we're going to be gone. Praise God.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Timothy. I want to look at two more scriptures. Are you good with me?
Yeah.
All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go there. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And I want to read, this is a verse familiar with us, but let's read it, and then I want to read it out of the Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul told his son in the faith in verse 6 of 2 Timothy, he said, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Now, this is the Amplified Bible here, and I really like this. This is what it says. Amplified Bible says, this is why I would remind you to stir up rekindle the embers of the fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. Wow, that's powerful. Let me read again. This is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. Now, why does the Amplified Bible say it that way? Well, there's a reason why. Is because when you actually look at the original language in the King James, where the King James uses the word stir up, it does mean to stir up. But what it's talking about is stirring up the embers of a flame. You know how you poke the fire to get it going again. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. How many of Timothy must have needed it, right? Paul tells Timothy, you need to stir up that gift of God. So if this could happen to Timothy, how many know it could probably happen to us? You need to stir up that inner flame, fan it into fire. In other words, it's got to be stirred up. There's a flame inside of you that God put in you when you got born again. Amen. But you have to stir it up every now and then. I think of like this, you know, this is my weak demonstration of this or picture of this. I remember when I was a kid, we used to drink Nestle's chocolate milk. Remember the powder? You start out white milk, you put the powder in it, and you stirred it up. Anybody remember that? They may still have it. They still have that? I don't know. But you stir it up. What happens over time? It settles to the bottom. So when we talk about stirring up the gift, how many know the Holy Spirit does not need stirred up Himself?
Right.
He's always stirred up. He needs stirred up in our lives. So what happened? What would happen when that chocolate would settle to the bottom? You'd take your spoon, you'd stir it again, and it'd mix it into all the milk. It'd mix it all up again, see? See, that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. He can settle to the bottom of our life because we've not kept Him stirred up in our lives. We've not kept Him intermingled in everything we're doing, see? And He settles to the bottom. It's not that He needs stirred up. He needs stirred up inside of our lives, so He's remixing with everything we're doing, see? When you first got born again, if you were like most people that get born again, that really get born again, I mean, God was at the center of everything going on in your life. I mean, He was it. That doesn't mean you didn't do natural things, but God was the center, see? You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't mean we're not preaching this morning that, no, well, I can never go to a ball game or anything like that because I need to be praying. Well, you know, you can get a little weird too if you don't watch it. That's not it, but it just means God's at the top of the surface, man. He's there all the time. And at the ball game, He liable to come out on somebody. Amen? I mean, you know, it's like years ago, he's in heaven now, there was a minister, and some of you that are a little older will remember, Norval Hayes. And Norval, he was a big fan of Tennessee football. Big fan. Huge fan. And whenever Tennessee or Georgia, you know, university played in football, didn't matter where Norval was at or supposed to be, that's where he was at. And he would always say, I pass out tracts at the game. You know, got to give it a spiritual, you know, connotation here. But I remember one time Norval said, he said, I was preaching for this pastor, and I think he's in one of the southern states. He might have been in Florida, you know. And he said, God was really moving. It was a Friday night. God was really moving. And the power got, and you could tell this was not just a meeting. This was a revival. You understand what I mean? This was a move of God. But Norval said, you know, he said, Tennessee and Georgia were playing on Saturday in Tennessee, and I'm going home to Tennessee. He said, so I'm out there, you know, on Saturday morning, putting my stuff in the trunk of my car, you know, my bags and stuff. And the pastor said, Brother Norval, he said, you know, I just want to tell you, the Lord wants you to stay. We need to have revival out of this. He said, Pastor, I will come back. He said, right now I'm going to go watch Tennessee beat Georgia. I'll come back. He said, well, I'm just telling what the Lord said. The Lord said, you're supposed to stay. Ah, Pastor, I'll be back. That sound like us sometime, you know? And so Norval said, you know, he said, I'm getting my stuff together, you know. And he said, I go back in the church and the pastor's secretary comes out and says, Pastor, you got an emergency phone call. And so the pastor takes it and it's somebody in his church that has a really serious emergency issue physically going on in their body. So he says, well, Brother Norval, would you pray? Would you pray? He said, yeah, I'll pray. He said, I'll tell you what, Pastor. He said, I'll go here to the altar and pray. He said, you go to church or you go see that person at the hospital and I'll be here praying for them too. And he says, but you know, once I'm done, I'm going to go watch Tennessee beat Georgia. He said, I don't know. He said, something happened. He said, I got in prayer and the spirit of prayer fell on me and I began to pray and pray. And he said, the next thing he said, I heard God saying, you're not supposed to go. You're supposed to stay and have revival. He said, but I had to pray till I got all that junk burnt out of me. See, your emotions, man, that's what I'm talking about. You can't be led by your emotions. You got to be led like, what is the right thing to do? Now, Norval said, he said, all along I knew that I was supposed to stay there and continue this meeting because God was moving. People were getting saved. People were getting blessed. People were getting delivered. He said, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go watch Tennessee beat Georgia. How many know we could all fall into that where God's not the center of our life? Where He's first. He's before Tennessee beating Georgia. Amen. Or the Colts beating the Patriots. Or IU beating Kentucky. That's close, but God's still first. Amen. Now, let's go to one last scripture. Come on, are you getting anything this morning? Luke chapter 24. I want to close right here, Luke 24, with this, and we'll. So we have to keep that stirred up. Not just one or two of us. All of us have to keep it stirred up. Norval had the story I just told you. Norval had to stir that back up. Something was going on inside of him. It shouldn't have been going on inside. It wasn't wrong for him to go. Watch Tennessee beat Georgia. It's not wrong. But the point is, when God has something else in mind, then it's wrong.
Right. Amen. Right.
Amen. See, when He's got something else, He wants you to, some other place He wants you to be, then you're going to be there. And that's the way, when we got saved, we lived our lives that way. Wherever we needed to be at the time, we wanted to be right there. All this natural stuff, it took a back seat to it. If we got to it, great. If we didn't, praise the Lord. God's got something better for us. Yeah. Amen? We might make it to the ball game. We might not. It wasn't as big a deal as being where God wanted us to be. Amen. All right. Praise God. Now, are you in Luke? Luke 24. Look at this, and we'll close right here. Luke 24. Let's just begin verse 30. It says, and it came to pass, excuse me, as he that being Jesus sat at meat with them or to eat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. This is talking about, these are two men. Let me back up. Let me just give you the background. There's two men walking. This is after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. All right. And there's two men walking on the road to Emmaus. And they're talking about all that happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and they don't know it's Jesus. They just think it's a stranger. And they start having a conversation. And verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, now listen, this is what I want to get to. Did not our heart burn within us? Didn't we have a fire blazing in us? Notice this, two things. While he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. So they said, they didn't know it was Jesus until he broke bread. And when he broke bread, then their eyes were open and they saw, that's Jesus. They didn't realize it was him. And so they said, our hearts began to burn while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Now, I see something else. See, fellowshipping with Him brings fire in your life.
Right.
Let's talk about this as we close out. How do we need to commune with Him? Well, number one, we need to commune with Him in our prayer life. Now think about now. What was the original scripture that we read? Anybody remember? The original one we started out with, Leviticus chapter 6, the altar fire shall never go out. Right? Remember that? All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we're to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Does anybody really think that that's possible? And just, I got to say this different. That didn't come out right. Does anybody think that's possible for you to pray 24/7 all the time? Does anybody really think that's possible? All right, I'm going to answer that. No. No. Now, don't get weird with me and say, oh, my spirit's praying all the time. Your spirit's praying when you're praying in tongues. That's the only thing time the Bible says your spirit's praying. All right. So what does he mean by pray without ceasing? He means what we're saying. Don't let the fire of your prayer life go out. No. Don't be like one brother told me one time. He said he hadn't prayed lately. He said, matter of fact, it's been so long. He said I have to go to God and tell him who I am when I get there. Don't be like that. And so, thank God, I think he got that rectified. But anyway, you know, that's just not good. See, what's it saying when it says pray without ceasing? Well, God knows you're going to sleep. He knows today you're going to eat lunch, and you're not going to, hopefully you're not going to be spitting out your refried beans praying, God bless them. No, we don't need any of that. Just eat your beans, all right? So the Lord knows that you're not going to be praying. Jesus didn't pray 24 hours a day. We find he slept. He found he was a sound sleeper. Storm's going on. They had to wake him up. So that's not what he's talking about. But what he's talking about, don't let the fire of it go out. Have a prayer life that's on fire. Amen. Number two, see, pray without ceasing. That's don't let the fire go out. Number two is through praise and worship. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Don't ever let the fire go out. Don't ever let the fire of your praise and prayer life go out. In other words, don't let the fire of praise go out in your life. Always have a praise for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, I heard a story about two pastors, two ministers. It's true. It's a true story, not a parable. But they both were denominational pastors, but one of them got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Ghost. And what did John say you'd get when you got baptized with the Holy Ghost? Fire, right? So this pastor got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Him and the other pastor that he went to Bible school with, that wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, they got together, and this pastor was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, he didn't even think about it. He just every now and then said, well, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. How many know if it's in you, it comes out. Sometimes I'm not even thinking. I'm so used to being around believers and saying things. I'll say things to sinners and realize, yeah, that probably don't understand one word I just said there. You know. I mean, I've called them, hey, brother, how you doing, brother? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, ain't my brother. But, you know, probably, I'm not your brother. Who do you think you are, man? My brother's not as ugly as you. What are you thinking? But see, it's just coming out because it's in you. And this pastor would say, praise the Lord, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. And the other pastors, after he heard enough of it, he said, I believe that's just a habit with you. I believe that's just a habit with you. Well, this pastor said, well, if it is, it's a habit I didn't have before. Hallelujah. Amen. See, what happened? A fire got lit. Amen. All right, number three, finally, how many know we need to commune with him through the Word of God? Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, there we see the word continue. What's that mean? Don't let the fire of the Word go out in your life. Remember what Jeremiah said, that his words in me shut up like a fire in my bones. Hallelujah. And so we have to keep the fire going. Let me give this to you again, and we'll close. Did you get something today? You got to keep the fire of your prayer life going. You got to keep the fire of praise going. You got to keep the fire of the Word going in your life. These are ways that the fire will always be burning on your altar. Just like the altar fire was not supposed to go out, your altar fire should never go out. Amen. It ought to be there all the time. And that does not mean, I know I've repeated it, but people need to hear it. That does not mean you have all these exciting feelings all the time. It just means you do your first works again. You do them again. And you keep doing them and keep doing them. That's all it means. There's times when I come, when I go to preach, man, I feel the fire of God in me. I feel the fire of God in me. I feel the anointing of God. I can sense the anointing of God. I'm coming to service. I'm ready. I am ready. Well, that's what I'm talking about. When I say I'm ready, let me explain that. I mean, emotionally, I'm ready. There's times I've come emotionally, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I just didn't feel it. But guess what? It doesn't matter whether I feel it or not. Do what you're supposed to do. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.